The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
But first, the issue of childcare has been gathering pace this week with talk of how and when the schools would reopen. The issue has been causing increased frustration for parents who are struggling with work and business. Last night, RTE News reported that childcare will be available to parents returning to work, subject to capacity, from June 29th. We'll get to that in a moment. But earlier in the week, some of our listeners got in touch with their concerns about the childcare situation. Here's what some of them had to say.
There's been no meaningful conversation around childcare. It's fallen flat on its face every time. It's just been talked about briefly and then moved on to how do we get people back to work? How do we open pubs and bars and restaurants? You know, we haven't actually looked at how these people are going to go to work if no one's minding their kids. So realistically, we're forcing people to break the 2K, 5 kilometres and get in secret minders. Is that the plan? It's not being discussed.
Under 14s represent approximately 21% of the population and around 1.8% of all COVID cases. So it's not clear to me why we're persisting with keeping children out of nurseries and schools and playgrounds. I don't think we have appropriately weighted the social and psychological impact of the current approach on our children. My worry is that we've suspended our critical thinking and we should now be questioning and more demanding of the government's approach to COVID-19 for small children.
I guess for me it's all or nothing at the minute. I run my own business, so trying to run it from home now with the challenges we're all experiencing is quite difficult. We have a beautiful 3-year-old daughter who obviously isn't in creche anymore, so she's at home too. We're drawing, we're going out for walks, we're doing whatever we can do to try and stay sane. But I guess what I'm not doing is getting any work done. It's definitely a challenge. I think there are people who have it worse off than we do. We have relations who we know their bosses insist on them being fully available 9 to 5 as if they were in the office, which is really tough when you're at home with kids and trying to keep them amused as well. So I think there are definitely people worse off than us, but it's a challenge. But I think we just have to get on with it at this stage.
The whole situation of juggling between play and conference calls isn't sustainable, but I also don't think the past was, in the sense of long commuting and long work hours. And I think this is actually an opportunity to really consider how we best go forward into a more sustainable approach for working parents.
Don't know how people actually expect us to get back out of the home office or whatever it is without this conversation being had in a meaningful way and solutions looked at. All this push for opening. Everyone's scared about when they're going to get their pint. How can you go for a pint if you don't have childcare?
So, will last night's development ease the concerns of these parents? We're joined by Aileen Hickey, CEO of Parentline, and by Adam Weatherly of ISMI for more on the kind of things that I suppose they've been hearing from parents and how parents are coping. But first of all, Aileen Hickey, to you, this development last night where it appeared as if the original plan was that creches and childcare would be open for children of essential workers only. But the Minister, Catherine Zappone, indicated that other parents in other jobs, the creche could be open to them as well, subject to capacity. Do you think that will make a big difference? Because there will be social distancing rules. We don't know what the capacity will be.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, firstly, you know, it is a development to be welcomed. I mean, I think any development will be welcomed by working parents at this stage. And, you know, we understand that essential workers really need childcare available to them. I mean, there had been an initial scheme that had been proposed that healthcare workers would have a level of childcare in their own homes provided between the 8th of May and the 29th of June. That didn't happen. So at least there's some sort of a clarity in the, you know, on the roadmap in terms of childcare. So, you know, I suppose it's understandable, first of all, that it should be open to essential workers first, and great now that it is expanded out past that, because, you know, first of all, we need to see what the demand is going to be like. I mean, I think there's been a good few surveys taking place at this stage, and it looks like maybe about 50% of those who availed of childcare prior to childcare facilities closing are only interested in returning to childcare at this stage. And you understand that because, you know, people are still very nervous and very anxious about, infection, and maybe they might have somebody in their house with an underlying illness or older parents and all the rest of it.
So they might not want to take it up. So they may not want to take it up. 29th of June.
Absolutely,
we have
no idea what the demand is going to be like. And at this stage, we also, we all kind of need time to digest this, I suppose. So we also don't know what it's going to look like. So, you know, these play pods that they're describing, I mean, so I think a play pod could be, you know, a small room. I mean, again, they have to be within the social distancing restrictions. So it could be a small room, or it could be a larger room with a light partition or something in it. The rule is that once you're in your play pod, the child only operates from within that play pod with the staff members in that play pod. They can only interact with the children in that play pod, have their meal times in
that
play pod.
So that will be limiting for the creche operators as well.
Absolutely.
Adam Weatherly, one of the things about this is if priority is given to children of essential workers, we're not really sure how it would work for other workers if there is quite a lot of demand. And then there may well be, and already we've seen it in the reaction to last night, that creche operators feel that doesn't solve their financial problems, and that with the social distancing measures, many of them feel they won't be able to open again anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Good morning, everyone. It's an interesting point. I'm not sure what financial supports have been mooted from the government to date on that, so I'm not sure. I mean, obviously, I think the government needs to step in financially to help these centres open up. I mean, it's an interesting stat in the article, in the RTE article, actually. We're 500 households who have children, who were surveyed, who have children in some sort of after-school care or in day centres. Only half of them are confident to put them back in there. So there's a mindset there that 50% say, I'm not confident to do that yet. I certainly can't see my business learning events going back to the classroom this year, for example. I just don't think the confidence is there. But the government's done the right thing in from what I read in the article there, that's a very good, positive step forward, but there are other supports that need to be put in place.
And it'll have to be in a wider context. Aileen Hickey, when you look at the pressure that parents have been under, ParentLine, you have a helpline. What kinds of difficulties has this lockdown brought about for parents working from home with children?
Immense difficulties. I mean, I wouldn't be saying this lightly, but I mean, I don't think parents have ever been asked to be so much and to do so much. You know, so parents are being asked to be, you know, parents who are already working from home are now asked to be, you know, school teacher, counsellor, sports coach, you know, the COVID police for older children to try and keep the older children, you know, from, you know, keep complying with the restrictions. They're still the chief cook and bottle washer. And as I say, and all, you know, for many in quite a pressure cooker situation, you know, where they're all living and working in the same house. So parents, I don't think have ever been asked to do so much.
How pressurized
and we're seeing
is
the results
it getting?
Of that.
Yeah, when what you see, yeah. What kinds of situations is it bringing
yeah.
up for
so,
people,
I mean,
for parents?
We would have seen about a 25% increase in calls generally to the helpline. You know, those calls are, you know, they're the usual ones in relation to anxiety, anger, aggression, teenage issues, self-harm, sexuality, eating disorders, violent and abusive behaviour and all the rest of it. We would have seen along with that then, I suppose, COVID-triggered issues, in that there are parents who are very concerned about, are they managing the homework well enough? Are they supervising the homework well enough? You know, these people are not trained teachers. So, you know, I don't know how you're expected to do all that. You know, I mean, you know, what we keep saying is that, you know, there's no point in trying to be a perfect parent here. You just need to be a good enough parent. Now, that's in any scenario, but particularly in the scenario that we're in right now. So, you know, I mean, there's stresses in relation to social media. Are the kids on too much screen time? Or, you know, is screen time a very positive thing? Because screen time at least gives an element of connectivity and, you know, it's quite a positive thing.
And
for
because
some children.
It's new territory
absolutely.
For parents, they're not sure if they're doing it right
absolutely.
Is the other point.
But where we would have seen the biggest spike, though, in calls would be in something called child to parent CPV, which is child to parent violence. So basically, this is quite it's kind of a dark side, a dark thing to be talking about. It's something that's very kind of stigmatized, but it's parents who are literally in fear in their own homes because of their children's violent and aggressive behavior that's directed towards them.
What now, kind of ages are you talking
about there? To be honest with you, you could be talking about children from 7 or 8 years of age upwards, right through to adult children, and we would be getting a significant proportion of calls in relation to adult children, particularly because adult children are now living back in their parents' homes, and a lot of them aren't working at present. So again, that further increases the whole pressure cooker situation. So,
and, Adam, you're a parent yourself, you're working from home, you've got children different ages. Has it been tough for you to manage to juggle both?
Well, I'm fortunate that my children are 12, 14 and 16, and they're easier to reason with. We just put in a plan. So, my wife works at home. We're lucky to have an office on the ground floor. My wife works there. I work from the breakfast room. I am consistently disrupted. It's not too bad. They recognize the signals to go away when I'm on an important call. So we're fortunate in that sense. But the tricky ones, and I spoke to a couple of our members who I know have young children of 1 and 3. How do you stop a 3-year-old coming in to see mummy who's on an important Zoom call because she wants to see, the daughter wants to see mummy. She sees mummy at home. She doesn't understand those boundaries that mummy's at work. As far as she's concerned, mummy goes to work. She's now working from home, therefore she's fair game. And that's very difficult. And if you have a massive tantrum, it's been embarrassing. But I think on that side, I've seen a lot of interruptions on our business events.
Do you think employers, Adam, are cutting their employees enough slack in those kinds of situations, whether it's about getting work done, productivity, or whether or not the children are drifting in and out of the Zoom call?
Yeah, I think the business owners have shown some good leadership over the last couple of months. We've seen a lot of sort of business owners asking us for advice on how they can reorganize the roles of their employees so that telephones are covered 24/7 or whatever during opening times. Introducing a more flexible work scheme. So that's been very positive. Some have implemented Saturday working to accommodate someone whose partner works Monday to Friday, that sort of thing. But on the extreme, there's a husband and wife I spoke to who the husband has to start work at 4 o'clock in the morning, finishes at 12, and then the wife then works the afternoon and has the children over to the husband. But that's not sustainable. That's fine for a couple of months. But he said, I'm absolutely exhausted. I'm not getting a good quality of life. And those people are starting to creak. They're the ones who are starting to get impatient. But unfortunately, I think we just have to be patient. We have to look at the reality of the environment that we're actually in right now. And we've been patient. Yes, it's starting to creak, but we need to stay patient. We need to see, what the next stage of the lockdown,
even the June 29th deadline that they're talking about in relation to some creche care is still a month away, and I'm sure it feels like a lot longer for many parents. But thank you very much for joining us on the programme, Adam Weatherly of ISMI and Aileen Hickey, CEO of Parentline. One texter actually suggested, what about outdoor schools? Maybe it could be turned around.
Back to hedge school days.
Thank you very much for joining us.